She used the exact same picture of what she was used to.
Donna, were you able to call that outfit?
She said 158 on the other. He's got 164.
Well, I think they've worked together on this.
Yeah. I wish they had just combined it. I mean, if it's all the same information.
I don't know if it is.
Have you got those numbers still out from yesterday?
Give me some structure. Tell you honest to do,
well,
Chief.
We lose your voice almost completely.
Good.
On the way.
Thank you.
But well, we don't want that.
You got your computer now. Good.
Yeah. Play games.
I can just turn this a little bit this way right here, and I'll.
Yeah, now I'm picking the grid. I'm carrying the arrow.
Okay. I'll try to lean more forward.
Thank you.
I was trying to sit back here and turn my back when I talk, so.
I appreciate it.
Where was this?
Do you have this street you didn't do?
I'm recording.
Okay,
New York on Yes, sir, the back.
Hot Haven.
Grand Loop.
What's the name?
It's 300 is Almighty Key.
Was that when? That was last week?
Yeah, last Thursday.
What about them?
I wanted to see you.
That was in the minutes, wasn't it?
Should be, yeah.
Page what?
It's on page 2.
All right.
Plus his application is on the back of your book under RUDA. They're not by the OE number. It's the name RUDA.
And then a Lori Cove for Cove personal property.
Especially this Lighty Key. Which was number...
Okay, Podhaven, we lowered to...
225.
225.
And the Lighty Key, we lowered to 175. That's that one. Okay, can you find 70115?
70118. 70108 is that one. Oh, that's that one you went out and looked for.
He claimed he paid $255. Well, that's probably a free trial. The guy I talked to paid $245.
Yeah.
His had a full basement.
So we had it to $270.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Where's the other one?
Lighty, number 2. 1115.
Direction.
Yeah. Lighty here somewhere.
Yeah, he's saying 150 is current market value. He had purchased it. It's 120.
Okay, I just wonder where it went.
He had it for 208.
Okay, the one that we'd Tuesday, we tabled. I should still have that in the book. Mr. Ruda, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
We start recording.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Ruda. I'm a principal with what most of you commonly known as the Developments by Thousand Hills. I was extensively involved in much of the data that Kerry Walden presented this morning. So I wanted to, rather than go back through, I can appreciate all of you had heard plenty, got overwhelmed with it. So I want to take a little broader, bigger picture type approach this afternoon. First of all, I kind of want to tell you the little process that I went about. If anybody thinks, so I'm presenting, so let me make the big picture, Chairman, is that I'm representing about roughly 25 condominium units that I still personally own as a developer, my entities own, and then three or four other commercial properties. So that's what I'm specifically talking about today. So obviously, most, if not all, of the points that Kerry made this morning as it relates to the Thousand Hills, and just for complete clarification, Thousand Hills, I'm including the Lynx at Thousand Hills, which is a development inside the Thousand Hills commercial subdivision. The cabins at Grand Mountain, which is on the north side of 76, but developed by our affiliated entities, and the Majestic at Table Rock, which was developed by our entities. So that's what I'm speaking with. That's entirely my interest. Kerry's work and being hired by the Boardwalk Promenade in Branson Hills is outside my interest or scope.
Now, are these properties that you're talking about here also included in her list?
No, sir. They are not. Okay. And the reason is, I'll just speak frankly, nobody has to wonder, this is an open book right here, is I don't want to pay her. Okay? Here's the situation. Obviously, I did pay her to start this process to find out the law. So myself and my affiliated entities started that process because I wanted to understand the law. I'm a developer. I'm not a lawyer. Okay? And so what happened was, is I had after the revaluation letters went out, had myself and my staff had approximately 100 property owners call me. Said, what's going on down there in Taney County, Dan? So I looked at it because I don't enjoy coming here. This isn't my business. It absolutely serves me no way to take on the county assessor because guess what? I'm a big property owner, and next year they're going to get looked at again. Okay? So it doesn't mean anything. Just hope you'd all appreciate that. Doesn't really do me any good to come up here. And the presumption is that, you know, why are you doing this? You must be a tax protester. Absolutely not. To the best of my knowledge, the first time I've ever been before this board. Okay? We pay a lot of taxes every year. In fact, in this community, I have been involved in, primarily as a principal, not the only owner, but primarily as a principal, in approximately 3,500 condominiums sold in this county in the last 20 years. So, quite familiar with the process and understand how that whole thing goes. So, as I said, I'm not here as a tax protester. I'm here because after I looked at it for 2 weeks, heard phone calls, listened to every one of them, I'm not a developer. I don't come in, develop some stuff, and go to another town and leave the rubble to everybody else here. I live on my projects. I'm there 6 and 7 days a week. I try to take care of the customer. I'm a believer in this community and the school system. As all of you know, the vast majority, over 80% of the property taxes we're talking about here today, go to the school system. I'm sensitive to it. I've been in this community almost 30 years. I've got two grandsons that live here and are going to go to the school system. I go to many of the events at the school system on a continual basis. So I'm very much a believer in the educational system support. Just so you know that kind of how I got involved in it, I just want you to understand, because if I were Kerry this morning, the characterization, and we're all people, we all take things a little personal, but if I were Kerry this morning, I might have, the tone of the question might have been implied that the validity and or the accuracy and or the source of said information might not have been totally straightforward, forthright, and accurate. Okay? I didn't per se make those graphs, as Kerry said, she did. But what I did do to educate myself before I moved to Branson some almost 30 years ago, I was a CPA. I was with one of the, at that time, Big Eight accounting firms, majored in computer auditing, and then went to work for 7 years for a very large, growing, regional CPA firm. When I was with the national firm, I specialized in computer auditing, and obviously that was 30-some years ago. And the reason that's important, in computer auditing, that's when that all came about, statistical data became very important. And I, because obviously when you work for publicly held companies and do audits of them, you can't look at every transaction. You have to get statistical data. As Carrie this morning, she didn't try to testify or represent to you that it was statistical. What I am telling you, based on my experience, okay, we got more than enough data that if we have to get statistical information, I am highly confident, and I'm talking above 95% confidence level, that statistical data would support the same. And that, in fact, 100% verification of what I'm talking about would support plus or minus a variance of 5%. So I just wanted to clarify for the group that we didn't go about this nonchalantly. As all of you know, is I can tell you, as I said, I've been here for a long time, paid a lot of taxes. First time I've been here. Why is that important? Okay? I didn't know. I'm writing checks every year. The people I sell con to's write checks every year. And I didn't know that those 40,000 tax parcels that people are, and the information going back, and the information about sales letters, and the information when the last time their tax assessment and value was changed is all sitting in this building. And it's available to me. And it's available to you free. I had to pay for it. And then I've had three staff members massaging it, putting it to an Excel, doing comparisons, and accumulating other sales data, and doing matches to be able to provide the information. As they said, there's lots there. I've got two boxes of information back at our office. So we didn't go about this, and we started this process the 2 weeks before that I hired Carrie. The reason, why didn't I come? You might say, well, Dan, why didn't you come and represent those owners at the Majestic, the Lynx, and the Cabins? Bob would know. Is that if I did that, I guess I could get a power of attorney. My concern was, is that I wouldn't seem credible to this group. And secondly, I was worried about my fellow associates, people that I work in the community, attorneys might think that I was practicing law. I don't want to do that. Okay? So here I'm here today representing myself. And I thought that also, there are, as Carrie pointed out, there were numerous questions this morning about the point of law, and obviously that's not my expertise. So that's a little bit about how we got here. Okay? And so with all that, I can tell you from my heart of hearts, to the best of my knowledge, that what was presented here this morning is correct. And I believe that if you do a statistical audit, okay, or I believe if you did a 100% audit, that you would find data that's very close to what was presented here. Some of the other things that we were done, and I don't have it, as you know, I didn't present it to you. But I think that probably you'd believe that what I'm telling you, the work that we did. Okay? A couple of the other things that we did that Carrie didn't represent to you this morning, that our staff did, is that we also, because we were trying to get a feel, one of the questions that came up this morning was the chart that compared the sales letters, which Dave asked about, and that they were at 78% of that the assessed values were 78% on those sales letters, is that one of the other things that I did is I went back to sales activity and information from realtors, people that bought, okay, and multi-list. And I took a sample of all those sales that happened in the county for 2008, 2007, and 2008. Took them all. Residential. I took also some agricultural, but that's not, I don't want to overcomplicate it. I went through initially, picked every 10th item, just printed them out in sale date order. Okay? So trying not to, it's not statistical, but trying not to bias my sample. Took every 10th item. Don't remember the exact number, didn't bring it over this morning because I didn't know that I was going to make this exact presentation. After that, I said I want to get a larger sample, went back and took every 5th item. So as best as I could do to make it unbiased, but obviously not statistically valid. But here's what we found out. I took those information from those sale or from those sales that I verified with buyers, okay, realtors, appraisers, and multi-list. And here's what I found out. I did one other thing. I went and I said, so those are residential parcels all over the county, the purpose of this board. I went and said, let's go and compare that, because many of them, as Mr. Strahan pointed out this morning, and I don't know the number, but I'm going to assume that it's correct, is that obviously the vast majority of those people didn't turn in their sales letters because they're human just like you and I are, and if they know what those letters represent, they're going to think, why would I send those in, because it's going to increase my property tax. So that's why the majority doesn't send them in. Okay, I would say that there's many of us on this board, and myself, I never send them in. Okay, but obviously, many of my buyers, as Jim can represent, they obviously do, which is fine. Here's what we found out. Okay, we went through there, and those numbers, that 58, actually, it ended up being 57% to 65% of those sales that we put in date order, selected every fifth one, ultimately, okay? They were between that 50, 58, and 65. The assessed values, January 09, were 58% to 65%. The assessed values were their market values. Now, why would I believe that me talking to buyers, realtors, other realtors in the profession, assessors, or not, excuse me, James, appraisers, okay, and multi-list, why would I think that's pretty accurate? Probably more accurate than those sales letters. To think that people are going to send something in, they might fib a little bit, that's not going to be audited, I'd say that information may not be as accurate as people when a realtor is going to give information or appraiser and goes back and takes substantive evidence by closing statements, by recorded documents, by talking to people what they paid. I believe that the chances of accuracy are much higher. Here's what we, so as I said, the information that we found out there was very close. We took that thing one more step. So now I have, I'm going to say it was 100 properties, okay, that we pulled out, that we had sales. And what I did was, I said, staff, go look at the tax maps, go find, make a circle of 300 yards around that piece of property. We have available, you have available, via your information downstairs. You got a big database. Okay? You can put her in Excel. Mr. Strophus there is a computer genius. Okay? You guys, I can do it. I guarantee you he can do it. And you guys got plenty of staff that can do it. As we went and said, take our little radius, 300 feet around there, and we'll go try to get 4 to 5 additional properties and see what the market, and assume that they have a market value per square foot available from the assessor to see how close it was to the market value per square foot of what sold. We found out, so we assumed that they were the same. Okay? Because obviously, as we all know, again, this isn't statistically valid. I'm just telling you the extent we went to. And the reason we made the decision to prevent to present what limited amount we did is because we felt that it was entirely as close as we could be, close to 100% substantiated. But I'm just telling you what else we did. So we compared other residences, assumed that the market value per square foot was the same, because typically neighborhoods get built at the same time, regardless of whether that 50 years ago or 5 years ago. Typically, neighborhoods got to get built out within about a 5-year period. Okay? We've all seen it. Non-statistically valid. What we found out is that if, in fact, that hypothesis was correct, that, in fact, their market values of those properties within 300 feet of that roughly 100 sample that we took, that we had what we feel was verifiable sales data, i.e. market, i.e. assessed values, if we felt like we had that, we found out that that was within 10%. If that assumption was correct, they were within 10% of the actual property that sold. Okay? What I'm telling you is, from a from a substantive standpoint, from a reasonable standpoint, what I think an average common person on the street and yourselves would say, pretty good evidence. So I went through all that just so that you guys understand we didn't take this lightly. And so to make the next point, think about your developer in Branson, Missouri. This is my livelihood. Okay? So I come over here, and I've tried to meet with several of you and have met with several of you to tell you the information that we have. And I encourage all of you, whether now, I understand your timing is the 11th hour, maybe the 11th and a half. Appreciate that. Okay? But it's there. I got it, and I didn't know about it. And I can tell you that 99% of the residents and taxpayers in this county don't know about it, the information that's there and what they can do. And how to get it and massage it and to figure out what it means is even more difficult. But you have it available to you. And you need to request it, and you need to request it before you start doing this every year.
Don't you think we already do that?
Okay. I don't know. But here's my question, Mr. Chairman. Okay. The reason that I'm questioning how much of it we've looked at and to what degree and how much of it's been made available to all of you, I'm talking looking at the 40,000 plus tax parcels and when the last time they changed is and how it compares to the sales letters and going and getting market information and looking at some of them, okay, based on the evidence that we saw, okay, that I said with high degree of confidence I can support. And I think that I can statistically and legally if I need to be, is that my question is, how did we get here? I'm willing to stay up, you guys have a deadline tomorrow, the next 48 hours and go through the data with you. Come over to my office, I'll bring it over here and we'll start going through it as best we can. I'm telling you, I'm an open book. With that said, so why would I want to do this? Because now every year, okay, you know, we all don't take it personal, but at the same time, we are people. So every year now, I got Mr. James Strahan, you know, none of us like to be challenged, okay? But I thought about it, and you get 100 phone calls, and you say, you got to stick your nose in it. So I spent 2 weeks trying to educate myself as best I could, with a lot of information under a short period of time. And then, obviously, we've been working on it ever since. So with all that, that's how I got here. That's why I am here. I'm interested. I'm not interested in saying that our school systems, I understand there's ambulances, but the vast majority of the schools, they need money. They all have a responsibility not to waste it. And so why would I come here and why would Carrie argue this argument of equity? Why is that important to you guys as fiduciaries sitting up there? Why is it important that you act from a broad picture of making good business-informed decisions to the taxpayers and voters? Why is that important? I can tell you why it's important. So I think we all understand, we don't have to argue the point about human nature and the fact that the people that were here this morning, if I'm getting a bill and I believe my market value of my house, that I'm getting assessed at 60% of market value, do I come over and complain? I'm not stupid. They don't come unless they're just not informed about how the process works. So you can ask, why wasn't I here before and everything else? I started looking at the data. Because I know the law too. After I started finding out and hired Carrie, the law says if you just strictly look at it and don't consider equity, and maybe uniformity, and maybe discrimination, and discrimination is different here, and I understand that. I'm not claiming it's anything else, but I'm talking from a layman's standpoint. Why is that important to this county, to our residents, and to our school systems? Because people have to be part of being able to be informed and to make an appropriate decision comes back to our checkbook. I make a lot better. I had my mentor once tell me, I said, why don't you appreciate me more? And this point's really right on target. I said, I work my heart out. I try to do it just like you'd do it. I put my neck on the line every day. This is when I was a chief financial officer for a developer. And I said, you don't appreciate it. I said, I act like it's mine. This was when I was a little younger, 32 years old. He said, Dan, you don't act like it, and you can't think like it, and you won't make decisions like it's your own unless it is your own. And my comment is, it is imperative, appropriate, and right that the values of all property is fairly, equitably, and uniformly enforced, or people aren't going to make the right decisions. And what I mean by that is that if we have a new $5 or $6 million football field we want to build, and we got a 30-year-old facility that's sitting at another school in the same school system, don't want to mention any names, okay, with locker rooms right next to it, if I can build a new asset that's really nice, that's the nicest one in Southwest Missouri, and I only have to pay 60 cents of what it's worth, I might vote yes. It's important that we don't, particularly in these times. I believe that economically, this community and this country, the next 20 years isn't going to be like the last 20. Doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong, that's one opinion, everybody's got one. But it's important that we make people, that we uniformly apply the law. So that's what we're here about. That's what all that was this morning. And that's why it's important. Because if we don't, and we have, okay, as was referenced or implied, and maybe specifically stated this morning, that the citizens, as it relates to property tax, and I'm only talking about property tax, that the citizens that get in their cars and drive to work every day, that by some reason they ought to be given some different consideration than people that come to this town. And don't forget those people that drive and do have kids in school. That's where those taxes are going. That somehow, from a I'm only talking property taxes, that somehow that should be given superiority, either personally or by the law, to those people that come into this town and spend $200,000 to $500,000 and buy property, and every year come back and take their vacations and spend another $20,000, and every year send their other family and don't have kids in our school system. I don't understand it. So that's how I got here. So now I'll make my other comments shorter and I'll go quicker, and I'm not going to go back through Carrie's data unless you have questions. So what I'm asking as it relates to the condos, and then I would like to specifically go through the four plus or minus little commercial parcels that I have and talk about those separately.
Can I ask the one question?
Yes.
Did it include the condos? The overall figure, when you took the average, was it an average based upon all the others, or did you include condos?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I just did single. I tell you what I did. Perfect, good question. I did single-family residences on tracts of less than 2 acres. So I was trying not to get where they're, because in this county, we obviously have a large number of tracts, homes, that are sitting on 5 to 80 acres. So I only included those in the sample.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So, again, non-statistical. Okay. So, that's why we're here today. Okay. As I said, we didn't hire a statistician, but I really do believe that our data would, that it will come back within a plus or minus 5% variation. The assessor this morning, and these notes, excuse me if they're a little haphazard, because I didn't know I was going to give this presentation this morning. I thought it was just going to come up. But when you sit there, and I'm trying not to take it personal, I'm not saying, I am really not, and I have, and I've told the assessor this, and I've told all of you that I've talked to in the past, and I believe this in my heart of heart. And I guess the evidence supports that. I don't have the press here. I didn't call a bunch of owners. If you think that I've sold 3,000 parcels in this county, and I go to work every day and I feed them steaks once a week, if you don't think that I couldn't have had this courtroom full today, you're mistaken. I didn't do that. It's not personal. I'm not trying to do. I don't know. I understand that James is understaffed. My point of it is, I can't help it. I just want to be treated equitably. And it affects me year after year if we don't get it changed. And I don't want to come back. So, what was stated this morning is that statistics really aren't appropriate because we're trying to apply these appraised values. Well, what I'm telling you that appraised values that the assessor is trying to come up with is really an attempt to put market value on things. And that what I'm trying to tell you is that by doing what we've done and looking at hard data about what market value is and then applying it to a larger universe has been proven to be accurate over and over again. And it's way beyond this group to challenge that. It is the best indicator. Sales, which is what we've done, is the best indicator of what market values are. To go about it a different way, and I don't know this number because I didn't go back and figure it out. There is a significant number. There's an old saying. Backtrack just a second. There's an old saying that all boats rise with the tide. Okay? I totally agree with everybody. Those old rich condo buyers come in here and plop down money and they're not living here. They just dropped $200,000 to $500,000 in our county that circulates around here and bring people to put in them and come back every year and drop another $5,000 to $10,000. Shame on us. And that money goes in sales tax and comes right back to this county right here. They're darn important. One of the things that I want to go on, and Carrie didn't do it because it's not a statistical sample, but I guess I feel very strongly that it is strongly supported. And I'm a little bit off topic, so I ask you to give me a little indulgence here. Is it related to the classification between commercial and residential? One of the comments that I have had and discussions I've had with the county assessor numerous times, and I think is legally and from a business perspective supported and highly supported by appraisal promulgation. Here's the comment, and it comes back to, Mr. Chairman, your comment about what state regulation is. My comment is, just for talking sake here, okay, this isn't an attorney, this is a layman talking, okay, with knowledge about lots of appraisals. I hire or get consummated 100 to 150 appraisals a year on my property and condominiums. Okay, so I have quite a bit of knowledge about how they work and where they get the data, commercial versus residential. As all of us know, not residential, in commercial, the valuation is based on three components. Cost to build it, okay, replacement cost to build it, market value, what it would sell for, and third, the income. How much income does it produce to help support the investment? And it's a weighing of all those. Sometimes it's substantially all the appraised value. Sometimes it's a third. One of the three. There is state statute and court cases that imply that if it is commercial from an assessor standpoint, that you need to heavily weigh on the income approach. What's that mean? It means that the income that asset gets is the best determination of what its value is because that's the return that the investor is going to get on it. Makes sense. Here's my point. So everybody's saying, why are you bringing that up, Dan? I've gone through and done the analysis, and I'll be glad to share it with you.
I guess, Dan, the thing that's confusing me, that's what we do. We've got several pending now on these apartment complexes and theaters and things like that. We try to get an appraisal.
Here's the
income approach.
Here's the problem, Dr.
Thank you.
Rose.
Thank you. Let me finish my comment. Thank you, Chairman. That's exactly my comment. My comment is, in condominiums, I profess, under a different scenario that Carrie said this morning, that condominiums, what they really need to be done is they need to be valued even if they're on nightly rental, particularly the ones in Thousand Hills. That's what Dan Ruta cares about. I'm not talking about the Promenade. I'm not talking about Branson Hills because those are different. They are a little different, as we all know. I'm talking about the Links, the Cabins, and the Majestic. Here's the point, is that I believe, okay, that the market value is the best indicator of its value on a residential basis. Here's the reason. Just exactly your point. If you go through an appraiser's calculation, okay, because nightly rental condos in the majority of this town, and the ones, the three that I'm talking about, if you go through the income approach, the value that you'll end up putting on those condominiums, classified as commercial, will be half as much as what we asked for today. So you take half as much and put it at 32%, you're going to end up with less tax.
There are times, though, Mr. Reuter, that, for instance, the Super Walmart, they're not going to come in with an income approach because that building will never sell for what they make. So
exactly.
Sometimes commercial, the income approach doesn't work real well.
Totally agree. I'm just telling you, in the residential settings, and particularly in hotels, which is what we're most closely comparing it to, the income approach is suggested to be heavily weighted. And what I'm telling you is that if you're going to do that, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And so from a simplicity standpoint, and for all the reasons that Carrie said this morning, I'm saying, guys, the world isn't perfect. Okay? It doesn't make sense. And what I'm telling you is, why make it so hard? James has got plenty to do. I'm telling you the third, two-thirds is fair, the 30%, 70%. And the point of it is, it's good business, and it's supported based on the fact that if you trade it all as commercial, and I come back here and say, and I get expert testimony next year, or when I go to, if I have to go to the tax commission, I get expert testimony that say the income approach ought to be, I'm going to propose assess values less than, that will result less tax, even taxed as commercial, than you're going to get at the market values as residential. That's what I'm saying. For whatever that's worth, okay? There's all kinds of things. What Mr. Paulson said is absolutely on target. Okay? I'm just saying you can't have your cake and eat it too. They are what they are. The people primarily use those condominiums. Come out. We have steak cookout tonight at 6:30. Come out and ask the owners that are there why they bought them. The number one reason they put them on nightly rental in my developments isn't for the income. Because it doesn't work. They all know it. They all sign something at the closing table that says it doesn't work. Okay? The reason they do it is they want to know, it's several things. Think about yourself. You just bought a toy in some destination. So let's assume it's not Branson because it's hard to imagine because that's where we all work and live. Let's imagine you bought one down in Destin, Florida. Okay? And you can afford it. You didn't buy it because it's marginally something you can afford. You bought it because you wanted to use it. You're 55 years old. You've worked hard. And you want something. You want something to enjoy with your family, your grandkids, spend some time. Because many of those people have worked really hard and have given up a lot. I can just tell you, I know the profile of the customer. So the reason they put it on nightly rental is two primary reasons. And I'm saying there ain't not a one of them ever sent me back a check. But there ain't not a one of them that I ever made money on the nightly rental program. The reason they put it on there is, one, as we all know, they only use it 2 or 3 weeks a year. So the other 49 or 50 weeks a year, they're not there. Can you imagine? You live in Branson, Missouri. You've got a condo down in Destin, and nobody's watching. That might be a little uneasy. You want to know that you got a professional that's going to be there 7 days a week watching it and is going to get paid to do that. Number two, think about that customer. And I don't believe that any of them doubt that I probably described the typical customer. Think about you're in their shoes. 55, 60-year-old, got some grandkids, you're still involved in your business, maybe you're trying to slow down. You got a house, so think about this. You got a house down here in Branson that's 5 miles out in town all by itself on 2 acres. Nobody's watching it. Okay, when you get in the car and say, honey, let's go to Branson and go down to our second home. You get there, here's what you find out. You got cobwebs 5 foot deep. You got grass that's 4 foot high. The electricity's not on. It's not cleaned. Okay, compare that if you have your unit on nightly rental. You call us up. We treat you just like another guest. It's ready to go. You turn your key in and you have fun. That's the second reason they use it. And it makes sense. And it's a great value. And it's not related to commercial. Neither one of those are. Okay. So, next.
Dan, I'd like to interrupt you just a second.
Okay.
I don't know who you think you're talking to.
Okay.
Everything that you said is exactly the reason somebody would do something for those reasons. And you've got these individuals up here. I don't believe there's a one of us that don't agree totally with what you have said about why. But we have no control over that, sir.
Okay.
That has been sent down, and as Kerry, we talked to Kerry about, it's been sent down to the state. We did those things. We wanted the things to work exactly like you said. We wanted it percentaged out, but the state decided, and they even fought with us, if according to Bob, to try to do percentage that, and then they got overruled at the Supreme Court level. So here's what I'm asking you.
Yes, sir.
Don't think that we don't understand. You give 2 points. I haven't even heard your third point yet. But don't think we don't understand exactly what you're talking about.
Fair enough.
And don't think that we don't agree with exactly what you're talking about. But we cannot, as a board directed by the state, change those things. Unless that is your argument later on, that we change those things.
To answer your question, Mr. Strahan.
I guess maybe, Dan,
Yes.
I think you're preaching to the choir.
Okay.
Because we agree with these things, and that's what we're here for. Why?
But here's my
comment. We're not even commissioners, and yet we've sat on this thing for weeks now, six weeks.
Yes, sir.
We're not drawn to
I know you're not. The reason I went through all that, Mr. Strahan, Chairman, is that I guess I'm trying to demonstrate that you do have available evidence to substantiate to acting contrary to the Dominion case. That's what I strongly believe, okay? And that in fact, from a number standpoint, okay, the county and the school system and the other tax-benefiting entities will benefit more by you so doing it. And that when it really comes down to it, to get to the point, Mr. Strahan, is that at the point, I believe that what Kerry said this morning, the mandate that you really all have, the number one mandate above everything else, above what James says, and Danny's brought up numerous times, is equity. Equity.
That's what we're
supposed to do. That is the mandate. So my comment is, as I come back to it, you ask me why, I'm going to answer the question. My comment, as Kerry said this morning, there were two big issues in the condominiums. One was the valuation, and I think that's been beat to death about what equity is. And I'm also saying both from the taxing, you the taxing entity, and also from the tax beneficiary, meaning the school system, and from the unit owners, I'm telling you that the equity standpoint, that everybody, that all three are served best by what Kerry proposed this morning. And in fact, it's not contrary to the Dominion case. That's my point. Enough said.
I just don't. I can't help but think that you don't understand the procedures that we go through. For example, up here, this is what on one of his. Majestic, pull it up.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's not relative.
I think it is relative.
That,
in other words, there's an intimation here that we're not looking at the data that's here in the courthouse and that, and we are. Now here, in this, we pull it up there, that's one that you own right there. Your name's on it. And the assessed value, 34, so that means it's worth, roughly five times that?
No.
180,000 or something
three
like that?
Three times that.
If it's commercial, it's three times
commercial.
That.
Oh, it's commercial, okay, three times that.
Is it residential? So it is five times.
Anyway.
Now, if we want more, for instance, click around and show them what, if we want to know what the one next door is, that's also yours. That's right, you own a whole bunch of them, don't you?
Yes, sir, thank you.
So we're going to be able to go, if it was somebody else, we can go and find out exactly
Absolutely.
What their value is.
Sure.
And then we'd get the list.
I think the argument that we're hearing, though, is we're looking at the data that's presented as an appeal. He's looking at the data as a holistic accounting approach versus what we see as appeals. We're only seeing a handful of everyone who's...
That's right.
I mean, he's looking at it as a more holistic, and that's where I think his argument is, is overall approach versus all we deal with is...
He's relying on Kerry's data, which said that the condos are at 98% of their value. I don't think he disputes that as an average or a median.
I totally agree, Mr. Chairman, that my condos, basically, and those of the Majestic, the Lynx, and the Cabins are at 97 to 100% of value. Guilty. We said that this morning. We know it. Okay? That was the reason, as I said, for 2 weeks, I didn't jump up and say, guys, what are we arguing about? Until I started looking at the other data. That's my point. Is equity is the number one thing. That's your mandate. And I can tell you, you have the information, and it's available, that the other the single-family residents in this county are at roughly 60%. I don't know how you get there, but you got to get equity. So whatever's the easiest, most appropriate, business-like manner, I believe you have the information, it's available to you. You have a responsibility, you have a duty. In fact, I believe that you have a fiduciary responsibility to make it equitable. It's not a maybe. And I'm just trying to justify it. One of the things I was going to make, and you were, I'll step back, and I kind of got off track a little earlier. I kind of mentioned the comment about all ships rise in a high tide. Everything I'm going to say to you, you can go verify. Okay. Is, let me just finish.
I will. I'm just.
Okay. Is, go back. I'm in the real estate business. I sell property inside Thousand Hills and outside Thousand Hills. I bought, you can go look at the public record, I've either bought or loaned, foreclosed on, or at least loaned on, half a dozen real agricultural tracts east of Forsyth in the last 2 or 3 years. Own some of them still. Okay? So I keep a pretty good eye on what real estate's doing, because one of the things that we also do is we loan on property. My comment of what I was saying about those values and the residential and supporting Kerry's deal, which comes back to your question, is that I challenge you. Take all the single-family residential tracts and go and look, particularly, and break them down between those built before 1995 and those built after 1995. Single-family, exclude condos. Okay? But there's a large number of them. What do you think, Mr. Strahan? 15, 20,000 of them? Single family residents. How many are there in the county?
I'm glad you brought that up.
You can answer.
I got a study of 9,985
How many are there?
Prior to 2001.
How many are there? 9,000? 10,000?
9,000.
Okay, 2,000.
985
okay.
Homes built before 2000.
Is that all of them in the county?
Every single one of them.
Okay.
Without condos.
Okay.
Excluded.
Okay.
And what was you going to continue?
And here's my question.
Okay.
When was the last time?
Okay.
That 90%, more than 50% of those 10,000 condos built before the year 2000. When was the last time that their valuation was changed?
07, every one of them changed.
You're telling me that the assessed value changed on
every single structure.
Okay.
Right here's the study. That's what I was going to go about, readily available to have the information.
And when was the last time that more than 10% of them, which I'm telling you that all the condos that we brought here today, that their tax that they're going to pay increased by more than 40%, and many of them 100%? That's the reason we selected only those three developments. Mr. Oliphant, he'd asked earlier today, why didn't you take the Greens, the Foothills, the Club, the Legacy, because many of those only increased by 20 or 30 or 40%.
No, my question was the ones you did use,
right.
How many did you use, and how many units are in there total is what I was referring to, not all the others.
Okay. No. My question is, so what I'm here today on those developments that Kerry presented at the Majestic, the Lynx, okay, the Cabins, that their taxes have increased 40% or more. My question is, of those 10,000, how many of them have had a tax increase of more than 30%?
the entirety over the course from 01 to 09 went up 30%. On the 2000, the information's right here, run out inquiries, and I actually didn't figure that for to come here, but it, boy, it's sure going to come in handy today.
How many of them came, how many of them went up more than 40% in 1 year?
Don't know.
Okay.
What was the overall?
In the overall increase on structures alone, no land involved, was 12.5% from 01 to 09. That's on the structure alone.
12.5% for 8 years.
For the 8 years. If you take the land and apply that in, you're getting close to 28% on the same. These are just homes built prior to 2001. It's been a big issue with the state, and it's a big issue today on how I've treated older homes. Right here's the study, and you can go through and count them, and you can see. This is readily available to anyone that wants it.
Would anybody like to...
Just for clarification, but you said everybody in 07 got increases?
They got a 202 index increase.
The index increase that you gave across the county.
Right.
Okay.
So it was an index increase.
So just so I understand, James, what you're saying is the taxes from 2001 to 2009 for single those 10,000, okay,
right,
residential single-family residents, they went up 30%. That's what you just
basically
said.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, I don't know what CPI is over that same eight-year period, but I can assure you that it is substantially more than 30%, and I'm sitting here.
I don't think so. Better recalculate that number.
Okay.
I've had my hand up over here. I just wanted to ask, because Mr. Ruda was expecting a different answer than what. I mean, I'm not.
Here's what I'm saying, Mr. Strahan, is that mine went up 40 to 100% in 1 year.
Let me tell you what I perceive. I know you're a very intelligent person. Mm-hmm. I know you're very smart. I know you're in the real estate business. Nobody's going to pull any wool over your eyes. But I can tell from the look on your face when you ask him that question, you expected a different answer. Can you tell me truthfully that you didn't? You expected
a
different answer, didn't you?
I didn't expect that it was quite that much based on the data,
but
I didn't
summarize. That's exactly what I know. Now, let me say something, Mr. Ruda.
Okay.
You have sat here and give us 10 minutes or more of credentials, and I don't doubt not one thing that you've said, and I don't doubt your intelligence whatsoever, but I do think that you didn't understand when he gave you those numbers that that the residential person... You see, when people come in, and you made this comment, when people come in on these single-family dwellings, if they come before this board and their taxes have went up and they want to argue that point, there's very few of them come in because they have lived in those homes for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. Most of them, we use the city of Branson for, and we got tired of talking about the city of Branson, so we went, you know, you can use Hollister, Forsyth, and everything else.
Yes, sir.
But they've lived there for a long period of time. Now, if their taxes have went up 30%, which you were surprised to hear. I mean, I seen the look on your face.
Okay.
It told the story.
Fair enough.
So you didn't expect that. You expected probably what you had heard from other sources that maybe the state tax commission had said you haven't raised it in 10 years or you haven't done these people right, but you're picking on the condo owners. I presume that I'm right.
No, you're not correct.
I'm not correct. Okay, well,
here's my comment.
That's just a misperception on my behalf because had the look on your face.
I had the look on my face that I was surprised at because the data that I have, the data that's available in this building, some of it goes back to 2001, some 2003. I didn't go back past 2005. Okay? So, here's my point.
Could I answer the increase on condos over that time frame? And it's a simple answer. It's a simple answer. It totally destroys the graphs that Kerry brought.
Okay.
When the boardwalks went on, some of them went on prior to getting sales in. We just picked a number. We did have no idea what the value those condos had. They're on the graphs. When the sales started coming in, Then we applied the value a year and a half, 2 years later. On every condo, new condos, the Majestics, we're still trying to determine what those condos are worth. We put them on at a cost, what we assume a cost would be when the sales information come in. Yes, some of them go up 40, 60, some of them double. That's not a perceived analysis of what we do. The graphs that were showed here this morning was thoroughly skewed from new construction versus old properties' true values.
Okay. Here. My point, I'm not.
Can I interrupt too?
Sure.
I've got the, and I'll pass these out, I've got the, I made a spreadsheet of the 34 or ever how many condominiums, or not condominiums, properties, that the state pulled the random drawing that you questioned how random it was. But I took those properties. We've got the appraisals. And bear with me, Dan, because it may take me a minute to get
sure,
through this,
I understand.
But I'll try to make sense. The State Tax Commission hired a fellow by the name of Walker.
Yes, sir.
And he did 35, give or take. In this spreadsheet that I just passed out, I've got 32 of them listed. One, I couldn't find the appraisal, and anyway, that's my numbers. I got 32 of them here. And other than the 202 increase in 07, which was 6% that we've talked about just now, everybody, condos, all structures, got that increase, right, James? The
yeah.
202 increase. That was a 6% increase. Everybody got that in 07.
Okay.
Other than that increase, which happened in 07, if you go back to 99, on this chart, you'll find that 19 of those 32, starting in 99, the values didn't change. And the values changed in 07, the index. So I don't have all the facts. I haven't done all the work that you've done.
Right.
But I have to believe, and I let me back up. 2 years ago when we went through the BOE, we had not the demand we had here, of course, but we had a number of properties come in. And a number of the homes that we looked at, I found the same thing, that the values had not changed in the last 8 years, whatever, 6 years. And my point is, I think you're right. If what I heard you say, there hasn't been a change in value in a lot of the properties, maybe two-thirds of the properties, maybe three-fourths.
In your analysis, there's two of these properties. I've looked at this list a whole lot, especially when I found out you were messing with it, Chuck. There's two of these properties, foreclosed properties, that shouldn't be entered into this appraisal. I can provide the information on that. There's two of these properties, double-wide trailers, that slid in on the appraisal. So as far as the...
Which two are those, James? Can you tell us which two those are?
I can't be looking at your report because you didn't go far enough to find that information out before you...
No. Whoa. I got the addresses right there, James.
I'll go get them for you.
Okay.
I told you there's going to be no personal attacks on this board.
Okay.
I'm sharing it.
Oh, is that right?
Just want to know what two
attacks on this board, and we had the news media attack me and James like a couple of dogs. Monday.
I wasn't here. I don't know what happened.
I
can't say a word on that because I wasn't here.
Chairman,
Was this the figures here of what James assessed?
If you'll look on the left hand side of the page there that you just pointed to, the handwritten figure is 09 appraised values. And if you'll go past the property number, the description, you'll see Coleman and you'll see Walker. Mr. Coleman's the gentleman that passed away recently. James wanted to question Mr. Walker's because he is from out of town, so the county paid for Mr. Coleman to assess all those properties. That's the appraised values by Mr. Coleman and Mr. Walker. And if you look down through there, the second one, you'll find that James is just... You might say right on. He's got it at 124. They appraised it at 133 and 148. But if you look more, you'll find that a lot of them are way off. James is way low. And if you look right at the top of the page, in handwriting, it says 23 of the 32 were not changed this year, period. And as James just said before he left, he knows this list very well. My question, sorry, Dan.
That's
all right. My question for James is, if you know this list so well, and we've got appraisals from our local appraiser and another appraiser that for the most part, except for a couple or three, are very close, those properties haven't changed in value. Why didn't you change them in value this year?
You don't change something that you're assuming through your information is correct.
No, this is...
Branson Lake Club Drive, 180 building, foreclosed. Forsyth Skyline Drive, 686, foreclosed. And there's two on here that's double-wide trailers that's set in Marion Woods.
Okay, so you take...
That's not on a residential study, should not be allowed in an appraisal. And we didn't get to fight that case in court.
Okay, so you take those four out, but you still don't answer my question. You know that these properties, 20 of them, let's say, are way undervalued. You didn't change them a bit.
Is your house undervalued?
My house in Kirbyville most likely is, yes. But it's like Dan said earlier.
Is your house undervalued?
I haven't heard anybody come in and complain about being undervalued. We've had a ton of folks complain about being raised 40, 50, and 60%.
I appraised property the way the assessor has given guidelines to do it. And I got this study ready. Didn't even realize, Dan, you were going to bring it up. And it's here. It's because the state's analysis. Now, you've run an analysis. It's totally different than the assessor's analysis. That is totally different than the state's analysis. Mm-hmm. The state's analysis said on these homes that I'd increased them 6.4% over the last 10 years.
Okay.
That's why I run this analysis. Okay. It says 12.8. That's not including the land. Okay. So, yes, statistical analysis is a wonderful thing, but knowing how you want to read those analyses is a totally different thing, and what they relate to other property owners is a totally different thing.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'll finish up and I'll be glad to answer whatever other questions. So I totally understand, James, what you're saying. So I guess in the spirit of, I heard all this morning for 3 hours, your deliberation. I understand the challenge that you have. I really do. I try to put myself in your shoes and think about that. And I guess I come back to several things. Okay. I hope that after this morning that everyone does believe that equity is the number one mandate. If you're not convinced of that, I can't get you there. Number two, let's talk about what other evidence, substantive, factual, and implied, that might be there that warrants a change. One, I understand that it's hard, probably impractical, and economically devastating to raise everybody up. Timing, all those other things. So if we can't do that, I didn't bring the 3,000 condo owners in here. I can tell you, and you can believe this or not, but I can tell you, it's several things. One, they weren't as dramatically different than what I perceived, and my data shows that the market compared to the assessed value between single family and those three developments, the Majestic, the Links, and the Cabins were. They were somewhere in between. So I thought, I don't need to bring them. They for sure don't need to pay Carrie to bring them because the benefit to them is marginal. Okay? Secondly, guys, again, as I said, I understand the economic pressures and we've got to live within them. We can be idealists. I'm not trying to be an idealist. But I think when it gets out of line and it's materially out of line and the evidence shows it, then let's make an adjustment. Okay? So with that said, and I know that it is brought up this morning, and I appreciate the point, that what you're asking us to do, Carrie and Dan, is you're asking us to do something that is contrary to state law, what the state tax commission wants. And here's my comment. Assume that the state tax commission is right. I mean, they're betting. They kept $800,000 of our money, working on a million, sued us, won, said you're wrong. Now, I have to believe, okay, not exactly on this point, but the same, it's the same principle, okay? I don't think we have to believe that they don't do that unless they have some pretty strong evidence. Now, as James pointed out, they went by it an appraisal standpoint. I went by sales. In my mind, I'm a realist. Show me the money. The money tells me what it's worth. That's what I went on. So, to come back to your point, the reason I think, so I understand all that. We're not asking you to change the 5,000 condos that are in Taney County. Not 5,000, I didn't sign a petition. I didn't call the 3,000 that I've sold and ask them to come in. Because I don't think it's practical, don't think it'd be good business, don't think it's fair to the community. But at the same time, I guess I asked the question, if we have somewhere between 10 and 20,000, because I don't know what the number is, okay? We have somewhere between 10 and 20,000, my hypothesis is, that are undervalued by 30 to 45%, okay? Carrie and I are in here asking for 400 taxpayers that we think we have evidence that says, compared to them, they're overstated. So my question to you is, in making the decision, you have to go weigh all the evidence. You know, the first thing is, are Ruta and Walden credible? Do they know what they're talking about? It? Do they have the evidence? Does the state credible? Do they know what they're talking about? Do they have the evidence? And if all that's the case, then how do you get to that it's more right, understanding that we're realist and we want to do the most right thing? How are you going against promulgation from the state to change 400 property owners to something that's more equitable rather than changing 10 to 20,000 up? I don't get it. In my mind, if in fact it comes back to the mandate, if the mandate is to be equitable, then the practical, right thing to do is to make an adjustment of the 400. I'm talking round numbers because I'm talking Carrie's plus mine. Because what mine are, you can verify that, is that I'm asking for the same thing that Carrie did on hers. On mine, those units are not occupied, so they're all classified residential. So the units that I'm bringing in that I or my affiliates own, it's just a question of valuation. Okay. And it's the same percentage that Carrie asked for. And the reason I did that is I wasn't trying to throw a new factual circumstances on you today.
How many total units are there in the Majestic at Table Rock?
As of today, built, standing, 89.
89?
Yes, sir.
And of the links?
How many is that? There's 85 at the links.
85. Okay.
And you can ask the question, okay, because it needs to be asked. I don't know if that was your question, Dave, but why don't we have that many units? Because you don't. The point of it is, I'm not an attorney.
No.
The Lynx is essentially sold out. I only have a few units. Is, you know, we sent out a letter. Carrie, we didn't call everyone, say, you know, you got to send it in. We didn't have a big organized meeting. Roughly 60% of the people sit back in the power of attorney.
No, what I was just running through my mind, you represent 43 between the two of you of the Majestic.
Okay.
That leaves 46 yes. more that we're going to have to lower besides yours in order to be equitable. And
I'm not asking for that, Dave.
I'm
just saying.
I agree, you're not.
Okay.
But what we have to look at from our standpoint is if we're going to equalize, which we're charged to do, okay, then we can't lower yours without lowering the next door neighbor's, who's also higher.
And I guess my question for that.
And the links is kind of the same.
Same thing. And 60%. My comment is, I understand that point.
I'm not arguing with yours. I'm just thinking of what our job is going to be here if we were to make that decision.
Here's my comment. So. Okay? This is a little bit of a personal and it's a little bit of an equity statement. Okay? Excuse me. Danny, for going in it, because I'm not trying to labor it. I appreciate you guys being here a long time. I guess the question I'd ask, Dave, is those folks, they know the law, too. They know that July 13th was the date to get their appeal in, and they didn't do it, okay? If this county, if this board, if we as a community are going to try to rectify this going forward somehow, okay, you're not going to make it all right, Dave, okay? No way that you can address the 5,000 condos in town. No way you can address the 10 to 20,000 single-family residents. They all had a chance to be here today, okay?
I think there's one point here, though. We, I think, consider ourselves more of an, almost like an appeals court than anything else, because the resident is supposed to contact the assessor first and say, hey, has there been a mistake?
Yes.
And if they don't like his answer, they can come here.
Yes, sir.
Well, we probably dealt with 400 or I don't know how many we've done. I've lost count. But we have not done exactly the same thing. Some of the appeals we have just denied and said, no, you're not being treated unfairly.
Yes, sir.
In other words, we have. And we've lowered quite a number of them.
All right. I would like to ask Dan one question. And like I say, me and Dan's talked many times. And we'll get a little blood pressure problems, and it'll get back usually in our conversations. But there's 1,500 condos that we didn't hear from. The value's set exactly the same way the ones that I'm declaring to be picking on. Would you have a suggestion to this board, since 1,500, that kind of defies the picking on the condo situation, 1,500 of them didn't get increases, or there might have been some slightly went down based on sales, based on what the assessor has, and based on the information I usually give this board to make a decision. Then you made another comment, Dan, that is really substantiating the way I feel when you talk about toy versus you're going to pay so much for a toy. Where does that fit in to proving uniformity on a person's house they live in and reside at? Where does that value separate away from a uniformity argument?
Would this group like me to answer that question? I guess here's what I'm going to say two things, James. He has two questions. I guess right. I believe I'll try to address the first one. Please make sure I don't miss the second one.
Sure.
Again, I'm not an attorney, so I'm going to answer that from a layman's standpoint, both questions. Okay? How come all the condos aren't here today? How come they all didn't go up by the same amount? I don't know. I hope by my actions thus far, and not trying to make it personal, because it's not. It's strictly business and equity to Dan Ruda. Is that the reason that I didn't have and didn't try to solicit all those past owners is because when I looked at the data from an equity standpoint, the disparity was not equal. By looking at the data, Dan Ruda's hypothesis, because I don't know, James, Dan Ruda's hypothesis as to how we got that and understanding the pressures that you're under and understanding how people are and how we conduct ourselves in business, what do not only the Majestic, the Cabins, the Lynx, the Promenade, the Boardwalk, and the Branson Hills developments that are being represented here today have in common as compared to the other 3,000 or 4,000 other condominiums? In my opinion, I look at all those, okay, and from a condominium and properties in residential development, here's the difference between those two groups. I think the point of James's comment. Okay, so I've already admitted what he's saying is true. Is that what those groups all have in common, specifically the ones that I know about, the Majestic, the Lynx, and the Cabins, they're my three latest projects. Every one of those projects started in the last 4 years, and that's where 98% of all the activity Dan Root has been involved in was consummated. Obviously, that means that the units that were sold, those people, 100% of them, I'm assuming, because the assessor is mandated to do so, were sent by a warranty deed being filing a sales letter. If you don't sell your condo, I sold it 10 years ago. Somebody else sold it 15 years ago. They didn't get a sales letter. Okay? And the activity level, meaning the sales activity, is going to be substantially less, and the assessor doesn't have access to the sales letters. Thereby, they're not coming before that body to look at as much. I'm not saying it's malicious. I'm just saying he asked the question. It makes sense. The other side, we all know what costs have done. Okay? My whole deal, I'm going to say it one more time. I promise I won't say it again after this. All boats rise with the tide. Okay? There is no question. Everybody knows what has happened until September when Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy, what happened to construction costs. They were going up at significantly more, maybe almost twice the CPI, because of so much demand worldwide. So thereby, there was a tremendous amount of what, from an assessor standpoint, and just looking at data, easy, determinable, justifiable market appreciation. That's my answer.
Dan, in their application to appeal, you used the figures like in these first two or three, $158,207.
I hope they're the same.
Was that a construction cost? Or?
No, the numbers that I put, Mr. Chairman, on the ones that I did, the assessor is correct, or maybe it was Mr. Oliphant had brought up this morning, there's two different types of units at Majestic. I don't know which one you're looking at. But even though there are two different types of units, meaning the level of construction at Majestic, there's two types. But in both types, there are three or four unit sizes. Twos, threes, and four bedrooms, and in the three bedrooms, there's two different types of three bedrooms. So what I did, I tried to mirror what Kerry did and ask for a 30% reduction based on that type to make it as equitable as I could. So
that's Dan, how many of those units have been built in the last year? You don't have to give me an exact number, but just in the last year, because you know the state came to us and they asked us to raise all property values that were not new construction, and their definition of new construction was anything under a year old. Okay. You know, so I was just kind of wondering how many of those units of the 89 or so that was you mentioned is
well
new
construction. Of the Majestic is 84 or 5 units. The cabins between all of them, there's right 120, and at the Majestic I said there's 89. In round numbers, because I don't have those exact numbers, so don't hold me to.
Right, I'm not. I'm just
roughly each of the last 3 years, sold and closed 60 to 90 units each of the last 3 years in that range.
Well, everything under a year old, the state asked us to raise 15% each year on the. Assessment.
So to answer your question a different way, I'd say of the units at the Majestic, the Links, and the cabins, okay, none of the Boardwalk or the Promenade were built in the last year, but the units that I'm related to, I'd say under 20% of them.
But not only last year. But not only yours. They ask us to do.
I understand.
They ask us to do.
Yeah.
All of Taney County older residents, older than 1 year old,
okay,
and raise them 15%.
Fair enough.
The years of 2009 and 2010 was their request.
Okay.
And the fact that there's two ways to look at this. Your argument is us either raise everybody else's taxes to 15%.
That's not my request. My request is to reduce.
I know what you're. I mean, but okay. Here we sit in two different positions. You sit representing you, and I appreciate what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But us as a board, we have to realize that we have to raise everybody's taxes. Let's say over a year old, 15%. This year and next year, to be to what the state wanted us to do. I can't see that we can do that on 1970, you know, 40-year-old homes. Would you agree to that? Would you agree that if you lived in a 40-year-old home and you got 30% raise, that it would be?
Here's what I'm saying. I live or am involved in a bunch of new homes, okay, called condominiums, okay?
Right.
And here's how I feel about it, and I'd hope that everybody feels this way, okay? If the law says that you're trying to approximate market values, okay, then by golly, that ought to be at market values, okay? Now, granted, it may be older, but if the market says, okay, that I'll pay $200,000 for that 20-year-old home, okay, then just because I have a $200,000 condo, I don't think that mine ought to get assessed at 97%, and the 25-year-old residential home, okay, that are in the same category as defined by the state law, ought to be assessed at 60%.
But here's what you're saying, and you said it a while ago, that it's simple. It's sales.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly what this board has looked at.
Exactly.
We've looked at that more than any other thing.
Anything else. Now, I'm going back, Dr. Rose, to just exactly what he said. It all lays within the sales market value. Now, we've got people here that have went down here in these condos that have argued with us, and we've got 13 sales in one condo down here that we're going to discuss tomorrow. But I want you to remember what Mr. Ruda just got through saying about it's all determined by the sales of 2007 and 2008 when we go to making those decisions. He is arguing the same fact that we are to make our decision tomorrow on those condos down there, because he's making, he says it himself, it all depends upon the dollar value of the sales, the market value. Is that what you said, Mr. Ruda?
Guilty. And here's my point. There's plenty of sales data out there that says those single-family residences out there are being assessed at 60%.
I wasn't finished.
Okay.
We have the data that shows that those condo sales are what we should be. But we have a certain group of people that came in here on a commission meeting, not in a BOE meeting, some of those people sitting back here today, who argue the fact that you're wrong and that this board is wrong. I appreciate your intelligence. I appreciate the fact that we should be, according to the state, market value is established upon the sales. If we had 13 sales and 89 units that were over the dollar value that they had, you just got through saying you thought it was fair for us to raise those values. Am I right? If you were sitting on this board.
I'm saying, I said, you darn right it's fair as long as you apply it across the board, and I'm suggesting that for whatever reason it has not been applied equitably or uniformly or consistently, and the evidence is overwhelming. Totally agree.
I want to make one statement to that. I know you know the project well. I know the project extremely well. Emery Creek.
Okay.
Huge amount of sales. Fantastic salespersons out there. Homes selling for $250,000, $275,000. Those goes into a study of the 20-year homes, the 1930s through the 2001 built homes. These influence the indexes, the cost approach, and all those things. The assessor cannot do the spur of a moment. How wrong would I have been to allow the powerful influence of Emery Creek's to a 20-year-old built home, 20 years back, now that they're every other home bankrupt in that area and they're selling for 60% of the value? But instead, I'm supposed to be, as an appraiser, sorting this out and applying it equitably throughout the county, not doing anyone wrong. And the reason those homes sold for that, a lot of people says it's the hot real estate market. It was the devastation of Katrina driving the cost of to build out of the roof. My dad, at one point, paid $18 a sheet for a piece of plywood to build a home with. When 2 months before that storm hit, back in the 80s, he could have bought the same sheet of plywood for $5 a sheet. But am I supposed to take these inflated values and these inflated costs and say these sales, I don't see none of that, are really relevant to a 20-year-old built home? I am not, as the assessor. I'm supposed to use a little common sense in values. Today, that same plywood cost of 2 years ago, you're in the building business, yes, is about 30% of what it cost 2 years ago because of the Katrina hurricane. We all know that. I'm a builder. I built houses before I became the assessor. I, as the assessor, should be paying attention to what these type situations is causing in the housing market. We can say all we want about the high real estate market and how it was established through sales practices. The cost to build these things were higher. But it was for a short period of time. It wasn't, that cost of that material hadn't been that for 10 years, establishing a true market of what that 20-year-old home should be valued at. And I have several things, very complex, I feel, that I have to look at and decide whether a home should be valued at what it's valued at.
Well, Dan, I need to come back here just from my own thinking. These ones here that you brought in, this one is at $158,000, what you think it should be.
Okay.
What are those selling for?
I'm sorry, which development is it? Because I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Chairman.
Majestic on Table Rock Lake, LLC.
He's conceded 98. He's not even arguing that.
Well, no, but no, I'm arguing it. The point is, I'm saying, in your mind, is the value that James placed on that condo, the assessed, not the assessed price,
yes,
the appraisal.
Yes, sir.
Is it in line with what you think that's worth and what you're going to sell it for?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and what we've said, and the graphs all support that, is that basically the Majestic, the Lynx, and the Cabins are between 97 and 102% of what we sold them for in those years. We're not arguing that.
Okay.
We're arguing that the other, all the single family, as a general rule, that's substantially all. Okay, the vast majority of the single family residents in that same classification in the rest of this county, which is a very large number, okay, 15 to 20,000 parcels, okay, are valued at 58 to 60% of what they're selling at.
And isn't that what he has a mandate to do, is move toward that? And we have a mandate to move toward it in ours, isn't that?
Equalize. He's proven that his evidence is saying it's not equal.
Oh, okay.
He's not arguing his value. He's arguing...
We've agreed on that all along.
Yes, sir.
Among ourselves.
What?
That the properties are not equal in value all around.
That's his argument.
That's why we try to take some up and take some down and try to do some equalization.
He's saying that he's representing... Ms. Walden represented 425 or 400 and whatever the number was. That aren't equal, and he's representing 25-ish
What their evidence is that condos are at 97 to 100, and they're saying that non-condo residential is at 60%.
Okay. That's correct.
That's what his argument is.
That is correct. Okay. If I can, let me go through the other parcels, and excuse me because I'm not very well prepared here, and this isn't what I normally do. So kind of give me a little tolerance, but I'll make this very brief. I've got three or four other commercial parcels, undeveloped, non-condominium parcels that I would like to ask for your review.
Which one do you want to take first?
One is the parcel, I'm going to say, hold on, I might have.
13505.
I have. So which number do I use here?
The last digits of the property number, 13505, is it?
Well, here's the Center Point Square POA.
Okay, hold on.
These aren't older houses that need to be increased, are they?
Are you asking for increases on older houses?
No, sir. Center Point, okay? Mm-hmm. Center Point, the lot that we have here, is 1.46 acres. Okay, does everybody have that one?
Just say
what BOE number if you've got it.
We don't have BOE numbers on these.
Last page in my book.
Last page in your book?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Center Point.
7736. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
BO number 70268.
All right, is what?
Okay.
By
okay, that is everybody a detention area.
It's a retention area.
Right.
Okay? Just here's what I'm going to ask you. I don't have pictures here.
We do.
You see the plat. Okay? I'm going to go away from the mic and I'll not speak. I'll repeat myself. This, by county standards, you know, I've been over here a time or two with planning and zoning and Board of Adjustments a time or two. Mr. Paulson, would I be out of line to say that, you know, we have certain standards we build by, including retention, stormwater retention?
We have rules, yes.
Yes. And both the city of Branson has those also. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
And you try to put a building on those ponds, would you probably send me a nasty letter? The city of Branson probably wouldn't authorize a permit if I tried to change the use of that retention pond?
Well, if it was a restaurant on Tanny Como, probably not. But otherwise, yeah, probably.
Anyway, this site, if you've been by the, I'm sorry, I had to have a little fun there. This project's right off Retina Road, okay? Those of you, Lock Supply has been built there. It was a development that we did. Started about 5 years ago, went through. It's been in the city. It was in the city. The city has, I don't think I'm overstating them. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes here because I'm not trying to, has a more tedious, involved, documented building standards than the county does. Okay, there's more of them. I'm not saying it's better. There's more of them.
Dan, I can slow you down a little here. I make a recommendation to this board that we put that the same as Mr. Redford's retention area in the Woodlands, the pond.
The minimum?
Yeah, $530. Thank you.
Yes, I was just looking it up here.
$530.
Slow down. Take
Who's
a break.
Making the motion?
I did.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Your next.
Value has been lowered from $25,000 to $520.
$530.
Gosh. Boy, you said this would be hard.
No, when you come in with a reasonable thing, it's easy.
Right. You're right, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. I have another tax parcel. It is the 1.9 acres on Highway 165. It's where the big Thousand Hills monopole sign is.
Okay, hold on. We got to find it here.
Vacation World Links. Parcel number is?
Parcel number is 009002.
Give us the last parcel number.
004?
Yeah, 004.
Second to last page of the book?
Yeah.
1.9 acres.
Opinion of value of $5,000. Is that the one I'm looking at?
No, sir.
Okay.
It's got a value of 82. It's got a commercial land value of $83,000. $82,764.
What did you put? Did you put $5,000 down?
Yes.
Okay, that's what
we're doing. Oh, I put $10,000 down.
Oh, not on that.
This one.
Not on that one. You got $5,000.
No, there's another one right behind it.
Oh, Danny. 002.000, you put $10,000.
Yes, sir.
And 002.004, you put $5,000.
That's correct.
Okay.
Call.
Okay.
They're both side by side. I don't know if you can pull them up. I'm sorry, I'm not better prepared.
We'll pull them up. That's what we're
okay, good. At. Please do.
That's it, Jim.
Oh, it's being circled right there. So.
Okay.
That one's fine.
Go on up the next one.
Or rectangle.
One more, right there. There you go. See where
Thank
it's
you.
At.
That one don't go 6, though.
That's this not, must be the back parcel.
Yes, that's the $5,000 request one.
Well, let's talk about that one.
Let's talk about that one. Yeah.
Okay, we're in talking. Cause I'm talking about both parcels. Okay? This is 165 Highway. The entrance into Fall Creek Resort, now Sunterra, is right up here. Okay? This is trailer park models that are inside.
And Fall Creek.
At Fall Creek. So this piece of property has about 180 feet of highway frontage.
It has literally, I'm not exaggerating, a 30-foot hole running through the middle of it, less than 100 feet off the highway. Okay? I have a large sign right here that has Thousand Hills on it. Okay? If you're familiar with this site. Okay? This ravine, the city of Branson, back in my younger, less informed days, has run a gigantic sewer water main down through the middle of this holler. How's that for Taney County language?
Good.
Okay? There you go.
We understand right? that.
Down through the middle of this holler. Okay? This part, because it had the sign or whatever, it's zoned commercial. It's also zoned commercial because I had tried several times to put a mobile sales office over there. Cheap. Okay? Because I didn't know how it was going to work. I never could get there because this property, both parcels, and I'll address this one, are in the county. Okay? There's a sewer line within X number of feet, whatever that is, Bob. I don't know what that is. Which says that if you do, you got to hook onto it. For me to hook on to a city sewer system, I got to go into the city of Branson. The city of Branson won't allow a mobile sales office. So I spent $15,000 and a year of my time trying to, that's how this parcel here, the 1.9 acres, got zoned commercial. Never could get it done, can't spend any money on it. If you think that I can develop that piece of property, okay, and into something, other than putting a little mobile office on it, I'd love for you to tell me how to do it.
Let me ask you, can you put... Is it any value to you? When we, let's talk about that one. Okay, not
this
that
one here.
Let's leave that. Let's go to the other one because that's one you're talking about.
Okay, I can talk about
and it. And he can't have it. He don't have a drawing on it.
Okay.
But is there any use for, and your, James, you, if he puts a sign on there, the land underneath it is not valued?
The sign can be valued commercial setting on residential land.
Well, that's what I'm saying is he's got one sign on there. Is there any use, to, Mr. Ruda, to you for another sign location there? Or I'm just trying to be fair and look at it in that way. I know you can't put a building on it. You just got through saying you couldn't.
It's pretty tough.
Well, it's how it's being used. The zoning doesn't necessarily say how it should be assessed. Is that whole lot assessed commercial?
The back front lot. Part, Bob, right here, this 1.9 acres is commercial. This is either agricultural rent or residential, and I got it too. But they join each other.
Well, let's change classification on the...
Well, let me just bring a couple comparables up, Danny, if you will. This, 5-point-whatever acres, and I'll give you the assessment number. Okay?
We've got it right there.
It's got a great big... That holler, that same holler goes down through the middle of it. That 5.87 acres, okay? Got about the same use, okay? That value, 5.87 acres, is valued at $6,395 downstream from me.
Yeah, we got your numbers.
My 1.9 acres is valued at $82,764.
What about the piece up this other way?
I don't have that one. I have the piece across the street.
No, come this way.
We've got it on here, is what he's saying.
I don't know. I don't know that, James.
That's $39,000. See, that's where we've got.
But that was a flat piece of land.
That's similar. Well, we valued similar to you.
Okay.
I make a recommendation to move this land. I know where he's talking about. There was a split, I believe, between you and your partner that divided the property.
Yes, sir.
And we just extended the value to the split. There had been some argument on what could be done with the property. At that time, it was one full piece. Am I telling this right, Dan?
There's been some changes. I bought John out, as everybody may or may not know. I bought him out 2.5 years ago.
I'd make a recommendation to this board to put this on at $20,000 per acre residential.
How many acres is there? 1.9 acre.
1.9 acres.
What's the parcel above there?
It's a commercial that one there.
It's assessed at... Well, the one up above. He says, is that assessed or appraised at 5,000 or... 6,000 for 5 acres.
Which one are you talking about?
The one downstream.
There you go.
Okay. I have it.
That one is appraised at
$6,395
for appraised
value. 5 acres, same topography, next door, same gully running through it. 5 acres, $6,395. My 1.9 acres.
My question to James earlier was the sign, if he put another sign on there, you go ahead and get the taxes on it, but the residential part of this thing
is... Doesn't make any difference. The reason we use residential value is because it joins Trout and Sunshine, and an extension of that is residential property. It don't extend into that other property up the street. When we value properties, we look at the neighboring properties and highest and best use.
What? Well, what's the highest and best use of a piece?
The highest and best use of the cowboy boot up there is residential property at about 20,000 an acre.
What's the highest and best use of his property? The one on the back there next, that's down the 30-foot hole.
It could be the same thing.
Can I ask a question, James?
Yes, sir.
If it's 20,000 an acre, you're talking about this parcel here, mm-hmm. okay? I'm telling you this 5 point some acres, okay, is valued at market appraised value, 5 acres at $6,300.
Have we seen any construction on it or usage of it?
Neither one.
That's what I thought. Can you even get...
Can I make another comment?
Sure.
This parcel over here, Dr. Schmall's widow's property, okay? I have a comparable right across the street.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Okay. Beautiful piece of property. I don't know how many of you have been up on it. It is a magnificent piece of property.
Does it have a sewer 69
acres.
Down the middle of it?
Pardon me?
Does it have a sewer going down the middle of it?
No, but you can bore under the road, Commissioner Fennell.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if you know about it, but you get up on top, it is flat. Okay?
And it's
has probably a half a mile of 165 frontage.
About 120,000.
Yes, exactly. 69 acres, 2,000 an acre.
My point, Dan, was the sewer running down the middle of your piece of property doesn't, in this case, value it more like it would.
Well, I do not believe that it does.
If you don't believe there could be an extension of that subdivision into the cowboy boot, and I remove my recommendation, let the board come up with a value on it. I don't...
Well, what about the...
What we brought the value down is we were well shown. We come around the curve and extended the values on down past Dan's property. And that was the value that he's arguing here. And I agree with you, Dan. Take a breath.
Yeah, I am.
I agree with you. It's probably not worth that split up like it was. All we did was split the value to the two pieces that we had on the one because it was valued the same as the one above.
Well, but why would the two of them combined, if they were one, still be so much compared to the 5.87 acres for $7,000?
Don't have a clue. We was coming down that because it adjoins. We assumed at the time Dan, and I don't even know whether you guys had the property.
What is that lot worth? That's what we've got to figure out. What is that lot worth?
Whatever Dan says it's worth, I guess.
Well, I'm not...
Can you scroll down?
I made a recommendation on here, and compared to the adjoining and near properties, I don't think I'm gigging you. That's my comment.
I'll make a motion to $10,000.
Which property are we talking about?
That's the 1.9 acres.
The one to the highway, right?
Yes.
Is that a commercial or a residential?
Residential. That's what James has got it at.
No, he's got it at commercial.
So we're saying
he's got it at commercial. Chuck, and I don't,
Your motion's going to residential and $10,000.
Yes, sir.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And that doesn't include the billboard, which is separate, right?
That's right. I'm going to pay tax on the billboard.
Before I vote, if you add a billboard, that's a separate parcel.
Yeah, it's a totally different.
Oh, yeah. He gets the billboards.
Good. Aye.
Aye.
The parcel next to it that you've got suggested 5,000, does it have access? I think somebody just asked.
Well, it has access in the fact.
You could come off Sunshine.
That's, well.
Looks like it's almost a turn.
I'm going to have to build.
Across the gully.
I've got to go across the gully to get back to it. Because I have title to both of them, regardless of how you're classifying. I do have title to both of them.
Dan, does it not touch the cul-de-sac? Does it not touch the cul-de-sac?
Yeah, but I don't know that those are
true lines.
Your request.
I don't know those are public roads.
I see.
I think those are private, Mr. James.
Your request to reduce this to $10,000 has been approved by 5-0.
On the one parcel, but not this one.
That's what
one.
I said,
5-0.
I voted for it.
That's on the parcel
next to the highway. We're now that on the other parcel, I'm proposing $5,000 for 2 point whatever acres.
Donna, did you get the parcel number on that previous one?
It was ending in 000?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And the one we're talking about now is 006.
Correct. You used what's the property right north of it?
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
Is that road, is that property that you're talking about, the shoal or whatever it is,
Dr.
across
Smalls?
There?
Yeah,
Smalley's.
This parcel right here.
Is that the one where they used to have the dogs laying out in the driveway?
Yes, yes.
And warning people to stay out?
Yes.
I've always pull it down. I've always wanted to know what was up on that hill.
They got a very nice piece of property.
Well,
they're the got one, out and walked up there, Doctor.
They're the ones that, no. Remember, they also dredged in another, like, road or something down there, but then never finished it. Right down coming in at Fall Creek.
Oh, that's
69 acres valued at $2,000 an acre.
I make a motion we take that property to $5,000 and change it to residential.
It is residential.
Oh, just move it down to $5,000.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I'm going to have to say no on that one, gentlemen. That's if you connect your property and you've got, well, that doesn't make any difference. No. Try to be fair. I tried to be fair on the other one.
Thank you, Mr. Strahan.
4-1.
Unless there's other questions of Mr. Ruda and his affiliates, I'm going to retire.
No,
you still got two other properties.
What's his vacation?
The other two properties I think that I have, are they not?
Links at Thousand Hills.
Yes. What those are?
Vacation World.
What those, I think those are, Dave. Are those not condos? Can you tell me?
Well, the one I've got here.
Let me tell you what those are. The reason that they're World on, the reason they're on there a little differently if they're condos is that I have a contract to buy them. So I had the people, which I have supplied or I can give you today if you don't have a power of attorney. I'm trying to get them reduced just like the others because I haven't closed on them yet.
Okay. All righty.
Okay. Just but I have a power of attorney from them. They're under contract to buy. No different than the rest of them.
And I just wanted to make sure that we didn't miss those.
How close to the assessed value is the contract?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Counselor. Okay? I'm going to trade them for another condo, okay? Pay a bank release of $200,000, and I'm going to get $15,000 out of them and pay a sales commission. And that's the way it is in the real estate business today.
This Vacation World, okay, the owner?
Make that's a motion to table this until we figure out exactly what we're going to do on these other condos, because that's what you're doing, isn't it, Dan? You're trading these two condos, so it's all connected.
It's all part of the other deal.
All right, I make a motion to table until we consider the other condos.
Is that a motion on all of those condos, too? Or
who's condos? Two. Just those two?
Well, that's the two that we're talking about right now.
Well, we didn't table the others, so we got no use tabling these. We're going to talk about all of them anyway.
Well, okay, we'll table them all then.
There you go. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We want to bring them back up now?
We're going to talk about them.
I mean,
we've got a 3 o'clock.
No, she said, I think they canceled, didn't they?
No, 3 o'clock is still on. It was the 11:30.
So
I request a 5-minute recess.
Yeah, 5-minute recess.
5-minute recess granted.
Thank you.